This is the Hartford Online Radio Network. 21st Century Audio. Delivered.
On thehorn.com.
From the land of steady habits, this is News Talk Tonight. I'm Brian Parker, joined today by Carl Bloom. Hello, Carl. How are you, sir?
I am well.
Also, our roving Virginian, Mr. Eric Blazinski, Blazman. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty well.
Pretty well. Fantastic. A lot of stories to get to tonight. Should we start with Scalia passing away?
Yeah,
Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia passed away on Saturday. Look, people are really up in arms. Should Obama make a new appointment to the bench? What are your thoughts before I tell you my thoughts? Should Obama make a new appointment to the bench in the time he has left, Carl Bloom?
I don't see why not, but I've also read that the chances of that succeeding in the short time he has is
because the Senate would block it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Blazman, what do you think?
Well, I have a little bit of a different take.
Yeah.
I believe that he will and he should, because it is his duty as president to fill this position, to nominate for this position, and he should fulfill the duties of the president of the United States. And the Senate should probably take what they can get, because I think they're going to get a more centrist candidate than when Hillary gets in there, and she can put like a super liberal in there once she gets in, because they don't have any election to worry about. So I think that if he were to nominate a super liberal person, then the election is a little bit in jeopardy for Democrats, because people will be like, oh, they just put this liberal in the justice position, and let's balance things out by getting a Republican
president. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's separation, so it doesn't really matter, but I agree with you. Where's my bell? There's my bell. That he should, and it is his duty, and of course he's going to. He ought to. Even Donald Trump said, of course he's going to. What's wrong with you people?
Question.
He's the president of the United States. You don't get to like do this a lot. So yeah, you're gonna put someone up there, and the idea is to put someone up there that has already been Senate confirmed. Thereby, if they do block them, they kind of have egg on their face. The Senate would have egg on their face because, well, why did you confirm him already? What's that about?
Well, there would be no question that they would be not confirming him for political reasons.
Right.
I mean, it's not like it's cloaked if they do it to a person who's already been confirmed by the Senate.
Silly conspiracy theories. I say let's not even give them any more time than just saying that they're silly. Would you agree?
I disagree. I think because my first reaction when I saw it, it was Justice Scalia dies of natural causes.
Yeah,
that was the first thing that I saw.
Okay.
I don't know how within a couple of hours they were able to determine that he died of natural causes without doing an autopsy or any other thing. And the medical examiner or whoever didn't even see the body. They just pronounced him dead. That might be par for the course. I don't know. But
so there's a little bit of a funny meme that my wife was telling me about that's going around on Facebook saying that Antonin Scalia had said that he wanted to be cremated. That was his final wishes. But instead, a group of women are going to gather together to decide what's going to happen to his body.
that's fantastic.
I thought that was a little funny. Maybe, you know, bad taste for sure. But I still thought it was funny.
It was cute.
Cause,
I don't get it.
Because he is pro-life, not pro-abortion. And so what does he have to do with telling me what I can do with my body? Shame on him.
I don't think he did that.
Oh, he that's the way he voted.
He's non-apologetic about, he was non-apologetic about being a pro-life justice as opposed to a pro-choice justice.
And he was a creationist as well, wasn't he not?
You know, that term I think has been sullied around so often that I'm not quite sure what a creationist is. Originally, I thought a creationist was God created everything in the world, and the earth is only 6,000 years old.
Right.
I don't think he was. But maybe I'm wrong. And I don't really know if it matters because he's dead now. So who cares? And I don't think that ever comes up. Like, I don't think they, you know, are holding hearings on how old the earth was.
I don't know how that matters.
Other things to talk about as far as Scalia. I mean, it's really going to be who he nominates. And there's a bunch of people that are up for the nomination, obviously. But names have already been out in the media, not officially. And I don't really know if it's worthwhile.
Too early.
Yeah, too early.
I don't know anything
about any of these people. And honestly, I kind of don't care. It's just not a thing I care about.
The New York Police Department is investigating former Governor Elliot Spitzer in a possible assault at a hotel. I'm going to give you a lot about this story, but first, let me read you the story, and you tell me if there's something a little fishy going on here. New York police are investigating. Oh, I got a pop-up ad here. New York police are investigating an incident at a Manhattan hotel in which a woman said she was assaulted by former Governor Elliot Spitzer, although she denied to press charges, police said. Okay, what just happened in that paragraph? Elliot Spitzer, under investigation. She's not pressing charges. So say the police. So you would assume what? That she at some point got caught up in it and the police said, are you going to press charges? And they said no. Now, they can go after Elliot Spitzer on criminal charges, but non-civil, and that's fine. But this is an important point. Would you agree at this very moment that the police have talked to this woman?
Yes.
Okay. Absolutely. The alleged incident, just put that on the little shelf in your mind. The police said the alleged incident occurred at the Plaza Hotel around 8 p.m. on Saturday. According to law enforcement officials briefed on the case, Spitzer, 56, and the woman, identified by WABC as a 25-year-old, had, quote, some sort of romantic relationship for about 2 years, end quote, and it appeared that she was going to break up with him, which, quote, may have led to the spat, end quote, the official said. The official being, I imagine, a police officer, not an official at ABC station, right? So let me ask you again, would you assume that the police have talked to this woman?
Yes.
Okay, good. So that's two votes for that. The woman sustained no injuries of substance, but was hospitalized to be treated for a non-serious cut on her arm and was released later, the official said. The injury was not sustained in the altercation, the official said.
This is where it gets a little Twilight Zone.
Are you listening to me when I'm saying the official said? Would you then agree that not only did the hospital talk to this woman, but also that the police maybe talked to her about that, maybe even at the hospital?
Who's the official?
It's the official, I guess someone at the, they're just calling the official. A law enforcement official, yeah.
They should name names in these things.
Yes. The woman identified Spitzer as her assailant, but then decided not to press charges, but detectives were continuing the investigation, the official said. The New York police say in a statement that the victim identified Spitzer and that through an ongoing investigation, the police are working, quote, to further establish the identity of the subject and the nature of the incident.
Huh.
What?
Somebody's making something up.
Lisa Linden, spokeswoman for Spitzer, said there's no truth to the allegation. And then the last paragraph here, a little gem. Spitzer, who was the New York State Attorney General before being elected governor in 2006, was forced to resign in 2008 after an investigation into a prostitution operation identified him as Client 9, who spent $15,000 on call girls. Investigators found that he spent no public funds on prostitutes, and he faces no charges in the case, but we decided to throw that in anyway.
Mm.
So let me back up here. On several occasions now, let's go back to the shelf. I said to you, it sounds like the police have talked to this woman. It sounds like they talked to her. They talked to her and they know about her hospital stay. It sounds like someone at the hospital treated her for a cut on her arm that was not very serious and was not involved in the altercation. But police are working to identify this person and the nature of the incident. How is it possible? So this, to me, sounds like one of the good old hit pieces. I have an audio clip from Good Morning America, the drive-by hit.
And former New York Governor Eliot Spitzer is denying allegations that he assaulted a woman. Sources say a 25-year-old woman claims Spitzer choked her inside the Plaza Hotel. Now, the pair apparently had a romantic relationship before she tried to break it off. No charges have been filed. Spitzer resigned during a prostitution scandal in 2008.
Well, okay. I think we're missing a few things in there. Like, well, we don't know who this woman is. Apparently, nobody knows who it is. But we all seem to have quotes from her. There's no child. I don't understand.
Her name is Svetlana Travis, and she's Russian. And she went back to Russia after she got beat by him.
Oh, so she's already back in Russia?
How did she back in Russia? It happened on Saturday. She hop on a plane?
Yeah.
I mean,
go to the New York Daily News.
This doesn't sound right at all. It's Monday.
Yeah.
It happened at 8 p.m. on Saturday.
She was already on her way back. And it doesn't take long to buy an airline ticket.
Maybe she had already made those travel plans too.
Yeah. And it also could, I mean, it's easy to buy an airline ticket. It's not a hard thing to do.
Okay. How does the New York Daily News know who this person is and the police don't?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know their vetting strategy, but she is one hot Russian, though, I'll tell you that.
You know who's not very hot is Kanye West, especially when it comes to his bank account. He is begging for money, and he's begging for it from Mark Zuckerberg. Kanye West went on asked Facebook boss Mark Zuckerberg to invest $1 billion in my ideas. $1 billion in my ideas. Like, you know, Tidal. That was a great idea. That streaming web service with high definition audio.
Didn't work out.
Yeah, that didn't work out too good. Apparently, Kanye West is $53 million in debt. $53 million.
Why doesn't he hit up his who's that trollop that he dates there?
The Kardashian gal?
Yeah. Right. What's her name again?
I actually don't know if she's worth $53 million.
They could make another sex tape.
Are you kidding? She's got to be worth $53 million. She's got to be worth way more than that. Mm-hmm. Her app makes like $8 million a month.
You know, I did download her app. It was fine.
Yeah.
It was kind of fun, actually. You go around, you try to like meet people and stuff, and it's like Sims, but without all that. It was very G-rated, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The Jesus Walks singer made a plea on Sunday, claiming that he has done many, many times before that he's the greatest artist of all time. I'm so great, in fact, I'm $53 million in debt.
You know, he's actually terrible. Now, if you know, it's funny that you brought this up because my my stepson just tonight starts telling me how great Kanye West is. And I said, oh, well, tell me what Kanye's done that's so great. Oh, he's revolutionized music in the recent years. And I said, oh, what? Tell me how he's done that. Oh, he introduced auto-tune. I'm like, well, how's that? First of all, how is that revolutionary? And second of all, what's his name? Not Joe Cocker. Who am I thinking of here?
Oh, you're thinking of Neil. The Pono player guy.
What?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Who's the Pono player? Is it Neil Young?
Nope.
Pono.
Pono player guy.
Well, anyway. Not Joe Cocker.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, that is Neil Young.
Isn't it Neil Young?
Yeah.
No, it's not Neil Young.
Yeah, engineers at Neil Young's company admit doubts of blah 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 blah. Reference Pono players.
I saw the picture. I got it. Yeah.
Yeah, I had one. I sold it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, anyway, he was doing like that voice box thing, you know, back in the '70s. So this guy, he's really not done much. And so he started telling me all these songs that Kanye West made that were great songs. And so I started Googling these things. He didn't even write these damn things. He just performed some of them.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, so he's really just a nobody.
He's a zero. Married this trollop so that he could get a little more, you know, he'd be noticed a little more. Why don't you get money from her?
So he tweets, Mark Zuckerberg, invest $1 billion into Kanye West ideas. That is February 14th. It is just past noon, 12:49. Less than a minute later, after realizing he's the greatest living artist and the greatest artist of all time. That's what he's calling himself. And then about a day later, no, not even. It's Sunday morning. He says, Mark Zuckerberg, I know it's your birthday. Is it really? No, it's his birthday. Great. But can you please call me tomorrow? He puts this as a Twitter post, as a tweet. Well, world, please FaceTime, Facebook, Instagram, whatever you got to do to get Mark to support me because I can't make it on my own.
Well,
I need
first of all, don't call him out on Twitter because I don't think Zuckerberg would even have a Twitter account. He's, I think, really opposed to Twitter because that's really his main competition.
Yeah, I don't even know if Twitter's really competition.
I would think Zuckerberg sees it as competition.
I would say he probably does, but he also sees that Twitter is kind of in shambles right now. But very popular. I love the Twitter. I hope it does well. I don't even have enough resources to create what I really can. Okay, because you're $53 million in debt. Mark, I am publicly asking you for help. One of the coolest things you could do ever. Wait, one of the coolest things you could ever do is to help me out, is to help me in my time of need. I mean, these are all separate tweets here. Hey, Larry Page, I'm down for your help too. He's calling out Google. He's just saying, like, who are the billionaires? And let me just, like, publicly shake them down.
What a weirdo.
Yeah. Dear Kanye, go to hell. Anyway, I just think that that's really weird and a little slice of strangeness in the world.
That's beyond narcissism, too. That's like histrionic.
It might be.
Should we? I think, you know what we should do? We should tweet Kanye and be like, hey, Kanye, we got this great podcast idea.
Lend your name to it.
Call us tomorrow. Right. As if Mark Zuckerberg has Kanye West's phone number.
He does.
I'm sure he could acquire it.
There's no way. I mean, I'm sure he could acquire it. Yeah, but still, you know, that's crazy talk.
Weird.
Very weird.
Weird.
Let's go to one of your
phones. Hold on. Kanye is running for president.
Come on.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
Oh, yeah. Google that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Kanye for president.
Oh, jeez.
Let's see what happens. Kanye West is definitely running for president.
2020. He's already said it.
The consequence of sound.net. It's where I get all my news.
Me too. But why don't you check out the CNN link? I know you get some news from there.
Oh, do you have a link somewhere?
Oh, you want me to give you one?
Oh, no. I thought you had mentioned that. Sarcasm.net, ABC News.
I just wanted people to like me more. But bro!
For Complex News, I'm Sean Evans, and during Sunday night's VMAs,
right,
Taylor
just
and Kanye West.
I wrote up a little something.
Okay, sorry.
Let's just not. He's a knucklehead.
It takes half a second for me to lose interest in him.
What is the... can you introduce the story about the transplants?
What?
The transplants, Dutch Open First Bank for Diseases?
You know, for years, I've always had a lot of, like, stomach problems and things like that.
Yeah.
And, so I'm always, like, researching about, like, stomach problems.
What kind of stomach problems do you have? Just pains?
Well, mostly like nausea all the time, and yeah, accompanied with pain and things like that. And
do you think it might have something to do with playing hockey and getting too many concussions?
The concussions might have something to do with it, but that's all like really remedied right now. So I feel really good. And I'm happy, very happy, and very fortunate to have found this doctor here in Virginia, and his name is Dr. Smith, and he's fantastic, and he's, you know, I've lost like, you know, almost 15 pounds since I've moved here, and I feel great most of the time, and I'm really very grateful for having met this fella.
Okay. You're not telling me that you did this. This is called fecal matter transplants.
I have not had a fecal matter transplant, okay, but the way that I have felt over the last couple of years, it would not have been out of the realm of possibilities for me to do a fecal matter transplant. I absolutely would have done it if I thought that it would have helped me.
Okay, continue on then.
So anyway, so a lot of problems that people have in their gut is because of their gut biome, which is the bacteria that are living in there. So what will happen is you get not enough good bacteria and too much bad bacteria, and it causes a lot of problems for people. And so lots of times, if you're on like several courses of antibiotics, you'll get some really bad bacteria that has like an infection in your intestines, and it's called Clostridium difficile is the type of bacteria. And so when this happens, one of the best and only ways to fix this is via a fecal matter transplant, where they actually take the poo, and they take the bacteria out of the poo, and then they take that bacteria and like through some kind of suppository, put it into your body.
So they take it out of someone else.
Correct.
Who has good poo.
Correct. Bacteria in their gut. Yeah.
Good poo bacteria.
Yes.
And then you get their good bacteria poo.
That's correct. And they're creating something called a poo bank, where and that's what this article is about, is the poo bank that's being created in the Hague. And so they'll be storing people's poo bacteria and for use in giving it to other people.
This reminds me of a story we did all the way back in March of last year, almost a year ago, Britain's first poo bus, which runs on human and household waste. It went into service that month, way back then, powered by biomethane gas, the bio bus, or poo bus, as it's called.
It was on a different show, though. That was.
Was it on a different show?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what show was it on?
It was Wednesday.
It's called On the Horn.
Oh, yeah. What was that show called?
That old show.
Yeah, one of my other attempts.
By the way, that totally implies that people are actively pooping on the bus in order to power it.
So Carl's looking at the picture, which it looks like a beautiful bus, but it is it has the graphics on the side of of properly sized people if they were actually sitting in the bus. So it kind of looks like you're looking through the window. Yeah. And they're all sitting with their pants around their ankles on toilets.
Reading newspapers.
Yeah. One lady's knitting. So grandma's knitting there. And it's like, hey, listen, hey, we got another 4 miles to go. You got to come on. Pick it up a little bit, would you?
Come on, granny. Push it out.
All the bus stops will be near like taco stands and like
Jolene, I told you not. More bran. You got to have, you all right?
If you want to be to work on time, you got to eat more fiber.
Come on. Enough of the, all right. That's fine. Anyway, so, well, you know what? Great. God bless the scientists for figuring out that this is something that can happen.
Yeah, it's the poo bank.
It is the poo bank.
Yeah.
Things that you never knew in science that that are apparently important, like the poo bank, we also have, for the first time ever, we have detected gravitational waves.
Mm.
I never knew what this was until just now. In fact, I just sort of, well, I know what gravitational waves are. I just sort of assumed that we had already gotten them. I didn't know it was all just a theory, but right. still. So I was a little shocked. Last week, a new era of astronomy began at the Laser Interferometer Gravitational Wave Observatory.
Take two.
It's called LIGO because no one knows how to say interferometer.
Interferometer.
Gravitational Wave Observatory. Executive Director David Reitz stood before a packed room at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. And under the words, "We've all been waiting to hear for a century." Chirp, 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 chirp. "We've detected gravitational waves." Applause erupted from the room and across the globe at universities, individuals, and institutions were watching via a live satellite. LIGO is a $1 billion international collaboration with nearly 1,000 scientists working together, hoping to catch a glimpse of the enigmatic cosmic phenomena known as gravitational waves. 100 years ago, Einstein first predicted the existence of gravitational waves as part of his theory of general relativity, which says that space and time are not two separate entities, but part of a dynamic interwoven fabric called space-time. What's cool is we do have, actually, a video that has audio where you can hear what a gravitational wave sounds like. There's a little voice over here, and we'll further explain, so we'll just play it and go.
This is the sound of two black holes colliding and merging. Where did this sound come from? A long time ago, in the distant reaches of the universe, two black holes, each about 30 times as massive as our sun, were locked in orbit and spiraling in towards each other. The only visible traces of this spinning cataclysm would have been the way their gravitational fields warped the light of distant stars. Even as they collided and merged, there wasn't a flicker of light to be seen. The real and very violent action in the system was in the form of gravitational waves, ripples in the very fabric of space and time. These waves were constantly draining energy from the black hole orbits, leading to their ultimate collision and merger to form a single black hole. At that instant, the power of the gravitational waves was 50 times greater than that of all the stars in the universe combined. That pulse of gravitational waves, lasting only a fraction of a second, expanded through the universe, passing unimpeded through countless galaxies. About 1.3 billion years later, it reached Earth. Gravitational waves alternately stretch and squeeze space itself and everything they pass through, but the effect is minuscule. Their effect on Earth here has been vastly exaggerated to help visualize something that is otherwise invisible on this scale. To detect them and directly measure their properties, scientists built LIGO, the most sensitive measuring device ever made. LIGO uses a device known as...
Notice he says LIGO too, because he can't say interferometer.
An interferometer to measure the tiny displacements in space. In this simplified representation, a laser beam is sent towards a partially reflecting mirror and split along two paths. The beams travel along 4 kilometer arms and reflect back towards the central mirror, which recombines them, directing their light to a detector. As the gravitational waves pass, the distance between the central beam splitter and the end mirror stretches along one arm and compresses along the other. This changes the time it takes the light to travel along the arms. The recombined light waves shift with respect to one another and produce a signal at the detector. Incredibly tiny stretching and squeezing of space can actually be measured directly in this way. How little does space distort to make this signal? Let's zoom into a hydrogen atom until we reach the proton at its core. LIGO is so sensitive, it can measure changes in distance as tiny as a thousandth the diameter of a proton. And this tiny measurement, made by LIGO, was the final step in a journey that began 1.3 billion years ago in the distant universe when two black holes collided.
So, 1,000th of a proton.
It's pretty small.
You know, you always hear, and the margin for error is, I don't even know if you can calculate that. What would 3% of the 1,000th of, I mean, I don't know.
You have to use scientific notation. It'd be like 10 to the 5,000th.
This is one of those, you know, I love science and I love thinking about this stuff, especially like theoretical stuff. There are some points, though, that I can't. My mind does not expand big enough to to figure out what the hell they're talking about.
I think somebody stubbed their toe in the next room, and that's what they discovered.
You think it could have been? Yeah, how do you do that? I mean,
would you know?
If it's really that sensitive, isn't the earth always moving around anyway? And I don't know. But
how would you know what you discovered? That's what I don't understand. I read a little bit about this the other day, and that was my question, is no one's gone into how they have confirmed that what they think they've discovered is actually what they discovered.
Right.
Right.
But I don't, you know, it also might be one of those, we can't explain this to you, so just take our word for it. And I would really be like, well, okay, you're probably right. You probably can't explain it to me.
Right, yeah. Okay, well, fine. Then you discovered it. Congratulations.
All right. Congratulations. I don't know what it really means to us other than...
It's kind of a buzzkill. I'm sorry. I buzzkilled that whole thing.
You really did, but that's okay. Let's see. I got just really quick hits here from here on out. Star Wars Episode 7 crossed the $1 billion mark over the past weekend. And that is pretty exciting. Did you see the new Star Wars, either of you?
I have, yeah.
And Blaz, did you see the new Star Wars?
I have never seen any Star Wars movie. I've seen part of one of them with my son, and I think I got up to go clip my nails or something.
Oh, okay. So not a Star Wars fan.
Buzzkill on this one, too.
Wow. Buzzkill on this one, too. Anyway.
Eric, I thought I knew you.
Well, Eric, spoiler alert, Han Solo is dead.
No!
They do have a new release date for Episode 8, which is December 15th, 2017. I'm very excited. The last one we rented out a theater for 198 of our closest friends here at On the Horn, and that was a lot of fun, so we'll probably do that again. I really like this story. This is about the friendly rivalry between Netflix and HBO. Where is this coming from? Oh, Business Insider. Great website, businessinsider.com, if you guys don't read it. Since Netflix moved into original content in 2013, it has been a pleasant rivalry with HBO. Based on mutual respect, Netflix content chief Ted Sarandos has even said Netflix's goal is to become HBO faster than HBO can become us. So both of them are trying, you know, Netflix is creating original content, which HBO did. HBO was a cable channel that created its own content, but now is going into the digital distribution, which you can do now with HBO. There's two of them now, and I don't know the difference. HBO Go and HBO Now. I don't know what the difference between the two of them is. Is one with a cable subscription or something like that?
I think they both are. They're both subscription. I think Go is tied to a cable subscription.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, is that right? Okay.
So you don't have to pay again for Go if you have a cable subscription gets it. Gotcha. Okay. Interesting. I'm excited about this news because to me, I want content creators to be in competition for digital downloads. I love this idea because it just says, we're going to create great content for you and we expect you to pay for it, but we're not going to make you, you know, there's no middleman here.
Yeah, and we're not going to bundle it with 8,000 other things and require you to spend $300 a month just to get five channels that you're interested in.
So another great example of this is Louis C.K., who's a comedian. You guys know of him.
He's hilarious. Yeah.
So he has come out with a new, I guess you call it show. It's like a videotaped play with no audience. And so when no one's talking, it's dead quiet, you know? And there are star Edie Falco's in it. Alan Alda is in it. Steve Buscemi's in it. Obviously, Louis C.K. is in it. And he is, it's called Horace and Pete's. And it's about this bar called Horace and Pete's. And I won't tell you about what the plot is, but, you know, there's something happening with the bar and blah, 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 blah. And great acting, very timely stuff. I just downloaded it, was it last night or the night before? And they already had references to about, you know, Trump not showing up at the last debate, you know? Like, I can't believe he didn't even show up at that last debate. So it is, you know, maybe a week old. It is really, really fresh. How do you get it? It's $5 for the first episode. Okay. Yeah. The second episode is $2. The third episode is $3. And I imagine the fourth episode, which I haven't seen a release yet, but maybe they released it today. I imagine it's going to be $4. And then, you know, they'll slowly go that way. And Louis C.K. had a great line. He said, you know, the reason I have to charge you for this is because it's really expensive to do that. Every time the cameras are rolling, money is flying out of my butt like your grandma's worst diarrhea. So, but I, you know, I like that. I got $2. If you entertain me for, you know, 60 minutes, I'll give you $2, Louis C.K. I will.
And really, when you put it into terms like that, I mean, I think about all the quarters I dumped into video games when I was younger.
Sure.
It's like, you know,
way less than 60 minutes worth of entertainment. Blaz, did you have a comment?
No, I don't think so, but this looks really cool.
Which one? The Netflix or the...
The Louis C.K. thing.
Yeah, it is cool. I did get it, and I'm very happy that I did. I have not watched the entire first episode because my daughter came into the room, so I had to turn it off because there's some colorful language. Let me tell you, Alan Alda is hysterical. He is like the grumpiest barkeep in the world, and you have to imagine he's loving this because he is cursing like an angry sailor constantly. There's one part where he's saying, you know why she's upset? You know why your daughter's upset? His daughter's sitting right there. It's because she's fat. And everyone's like, oh, you can't say that. No, it's fat. You should lose some weight. You're going to feel better. Oh, my God, I can't believe you're saying that. No, I'm saying she's fat. I don't understand what's wrong with you people. Look, she is wider around the middle than any one of us here. It's so funny.
You know who else is in that is this guy Nick DiPaolo. You know who that is?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really good. He has a great podcast, by the way. You know what? Nick DiPaolo's podcast is the only podcast that I pay for.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you pay for this one, but with your soul.
That's true.
Okay. Anyway, so that's my little rant about Netflix, HBO, and content creators. Cut out the middleman. Enough of this cable nonsense.
Absolutely. Yeah, get rid
of it. You know what? I mean, it's just silly. I'm really excited to see that. How about the sweetest job that you never went to? You want to hear about the sweetest job you never went to? Sure. A Spanish man did not show up for work in 6 years. And still got paid every year over $40,000.
Well, until they found out.
Until they found out. You want to take a guess of how they found out?
Hold on. This is from that movie Office Space, I think. Remember that guy?
No. Oh, the guy with the red stapler?
Yeah.
He is my stapler.
Me stapler.
For Milton. 6 years, a building supervisor in Spain quietly collected $41,500 in salary from his local government without showing up for work. And he has gotten away with it, too. And he would have gotten away with it, too. I mean, he did. But if it wasn't for him getting an award for his 20 years of loyal service.
That's great.
Mr. Garcia, 69, was fined $30,000. For the extended paid vacation from the water treatment plant that he worked out, the maximum penalty that government officials could deliver, not bad. It was 6 years, six times four is like $240,000. So we got to keep the rest of it, I guess. According to the deputy mayor, Garcia was due to be recognized for his hard work in 2010. Authorities realized that his office was sitting vacant. I wondered how he was still working here. Had he retired? Had he died? The payroll showed that he was still receiving a salary. I called him up and said, what did you do yesterday? And the month before that, and the month before that. How great of a gig is that?
You know,
apparently, he just wanted to catch up on his reading.
You're sitting around for 6 years. You've got plenty of time to think of an excuse when someone asks you, what'd you do yesterday?
Right. Now, I wonder if the water quality in Cadiz suffered at all.
Yeah, that's where he was working in Cadiz.
Probably not.
It is fun. But what a great little gig. Let's get to my girlfriend there, Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Oh.
Explaining the superdelegates.
Yeah, so there's this whole superdelegate story. You know how I've been feeling the burn lately. Hillary Clinton starts this race with how many more delegates? Do you know how many more? I'm sorry, I'm not prepared for this.
I did not know.
I saw somewhere it was 300 plus.
Over 300 plus delegates?
Yes. Woo. I don't know how accurate that is.
I have the number here. I just have
now, to. Debbie Wasserman Schultz is, oops, I didn't know that was a YouTube thing.
Yeah, okay, so I do actually have it here.
So she is a big Hillary Clinton supporter.
Oh, yeah. Former chief of staff or something like that.
And she, I don't know if she still is, but she was the head of the DNC. Was she still head of the DNC?
Still the head of the DNC. Okay. And she, okay, so Hillary starts the race with 359 superdelegates. Bernie Sanders is 8 superdelegates.
8?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, this is like some kind of affirmative action at work here, where the female gets the leg up by 351 delegates.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was just kind of kidding about that, but that didn't go over very well. So she starts out with 359 delegates to Sanders' 8. Like, that's 20% of the total delegates are superdelegates. Like, the whole way that the Democrats do this is not very democratic in my estimation. And
well, it's the primary. It's not. Yeah. Let's not remember the Republicans are a private thing. The GOP is a private thing. Yeah,
I understand.
Okay. Okay.
It's the same with the Democrats.
Yeah,
they're a private organization that can do whatever the hell they want to do. But, you know, why bother? Why bother with all this? Just decide who you're going to run and run that person.
Yeah, when you're only given 2 options, you kind of assume like there should be a little more democracy involved.
Yeah,
democracy. It's overrated. It's
right there. There's nothing about democracy there. I mean, the way that they do it is like really, really slanted towards the person that they really want in there, you know?
Do we want to play this little Debbie thing here with Jake Tapper from CNN?
Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the head of the DNC, describes why they do this this whole super delegate business, and she really very clearly articulates why they do this. So go ahead and play that clip.
Hillary Clinton lost to Bernie Sanders in New Hampshire by 22 percentage points, the biggest victory in a contested Democratic primary there since John F. Kennedy. But it looks as though Clinton and Sanders are leaving the Granite State with the same number of delegates in their pockets because Clinton has the support of New Hampshire's superdelegates, these party insiders. What do you tell voters who are new to the process who says this makes them feel like it's all rigged?
Well, let me just make sure that I can clarify exactly what was available during the primaries in Iowa and in New Hampshire. The unpledged delegates are a separate category. The only thing available on the ballot in a primary and a caucus is the pledged delegates, those that are tied to the candidate that they are pledged to support, and they receive a proportional number of delegates going into the our convention. Unpledged delegates exist really to make sure that party leaders and elected officials don't have to be in a position where they are running against grassroots activists. We are, as a Democratic Party, really highlight and emphasize inclusiveness and diversity at our convention, and so we want to give every opportunity to grassroots activists and diverse, committed Democrats to be able to participate, attend, and be a delegate at the convention. And so we separate out those unpledged delegates to make sure that there isn't competition between them.
I'm not sure that answer would satisfy an anxious young voter, but let's move on. Hillary Clinton.
Okay.
Excellent point.
Can I tell you? I think my eyes just glazed over. I am no smarter than I am.
No, absolutely not.
I don't know anymore.
Yeah, what I got from that is that, you know, these super delegates exist so that people like Bernie Sanders can't sneak in the back door. Regardless of how popular they are.
Yeah.
Right. It's you know, these super delegates are a mechanism to protect the leadership of the Democrat Party.
Right. Now, yeah. The same is true for the Republican Party, though, isn't it? I mean,
well, they don't do it that way. I mean, they have an actual democratic process. I mean, they have a it'd be more democracy than anything. They're not.
They don't use superdelegates.
No.
Huh.
Not that I know of. Republicans don't use superdelegates, do they?
No.
No.
We don't.
It's just straight up delegates.
Yes,
so you might get somebody like a Trump as a Republican.
You might get someone as a Trump as a Republican.
You might get Trump
nominee
as the candidate for the Republicans because they do it in sort of a democratic way. But you know, they have to those delegates have to like sort of pledge their allegiance, I guess, once they go to that convention. It's the convention where they actually select. So anything could happen at that convention there.
Right. Anything indeed. I only got like two little stories left. You want to hear about them?
Yeah, let's hear.
This is fun. You got kids planning on going to school soon, right? To college?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to send them to Germany.
Okay.
With all
the refugees?
With all the refugees.
Fit right in.
The number of American students studying in Germany has risen sharply. Recent figures showed driving in part by the low cost of higher education compared to the United States. More than 10,000 students from the U.S. are presently enrolled in Germany's education program. Let me cut to the chase here. You want to know why? Because the monthly expenses in Germany are about $600 or $7,200 per year versus the $20,000 to $30,000 at a low-cost school here back at home, upwards of even $55,000 to $65,000 a year. That is quite a difference. You go over to Germany, and you know what? You get a degree from a German school, people are going to be like, yeah, that is way better than UConn. You know, wow, that's great. And you probably get to learn another language, and this is great, maybe two or three languages.
Yeah, how could you get by without learning German? I mean,
I don't know how you would get by, but you know,
presumably you'd have to learn German.
But you
I
know
really
what?
Got a kick out of the woman they interviewed who's majoring in American Studies at Bonn University.
Oh yeah, she's now working on her master's degree in American Studies at the University of Bonn.
That's funny.
That is hysterical. But I'm so proud of those guys for making it a capitalist system. I am so down on university education in the United States. Yeah. I think it's low quality, and I think it is way too expensive.
Yeah.
So that is great. I'm excited about that. I got one other little quickie thing about the Comcast has gone Jackson Pollock today. They have lost, they have had a bunch of outages, the old great Comcast here, across the United States. Wow. And they, Engadget has an outage map, and there is just no rhyme or reason. You know, if you're in Seattle or Portland or San Francisco or I don't think, is that Salt Lake there in Utah? Or boy, a big one in Denver, Colorado. It takes up almost all of Colorado, which is a big state. Basically, everywhere from Virginia up into Maine is gone. Michigan, Ohio, Illinois. I mean, it's all over the place. Houston, Texas, almost all of Miami, certainly the southern part of Miami, but even up there in Tallahassee land.
You know what this looks like? This looks like those old Fallout maps. You know?
Yeah, like disease. Yeah, right. That's epidemic. Exactly what it looks like. Because yeah. It's not even like dots. It's like someone painted yellow across certain areas with a wide paintbrush and then took a fountain pen and slowly dabbed across, and it just sort of bled red all over the place.
I mean, the big red ones are obviously the largest metropolitan areas in the U.S.
West Virginia, Virginia.
So you were out. So you were out
Pittsburgh
today?
I think
The studio was not out because we don't use Comcast here. At the studio we use, I don't know who we use here,
Comcast.
No, we don't use Comcast here. We use someone else.
Well, it was Comcast when I was hanging over there.
Okay. And but at home, and we pay for a telecommuter account So we have very fast, very high-speed stuff. The wife does a lot of internet stuff. What am I trying to say?
She's a remote.
Remote access, and you know, she's a tech person that does the you know a lot of coding and that sort of thing. So she's always updating stuff. And she was working from home today, but anyway. So we did lose it at the house, or it got really, really slow. And that is very odd. Do we think that this is a problem that is endemic of the infrastructure, or do we think something else happened? Because this is a really, it's not like a transformer blew and a certain area was out. It's sort of just
something up.
It's dotted all over the place. It almost looks like a cyber attack, right?
So, well, somebody probably screwed something up. I wouldn't blame it on a cyber attack. No. But I would say that somebody somewhere screwed something up.
Yeah. Well, you know.
It's showing that my area was out on this map, but I didn't lose internet here.
Yeah, it's just showing. I don't know if it's like the deep, deep red or what, but.
What well, I do I find interesting
have,
is
I have
that...
just a little splotch of red.
Okay.
Red. I'm sorry, not red. A little splotch of yellow right near.
Oh, so you're a brownout.
Maybe
you're an internet brownout.
So you have San Francisco and the whole Bay Area completely in red, but Los Angeles, San Diego, nothing.
That's why it's like, you know, if you tech community,
yeah.
You know, you could start the and you have Microsoft up there in Washington, gone.
Right.
Yeah.
Colorado.
Denver got really nailed. Houston.
Google, Yahoo.
Yeah.
Chicago.
Let's look at this. You know what did not get nailed is, let's see, where in New York is West Point? Because Colorado, the United States Air Force Academy, gone. United States Coast Guard Academy, gone. Annapolis Naval Academy, gone. Where is...
I think it's right on the fringe of the yellow there.
Oh, it is on the fringe?
Yeah, because it's... I don't know if it's Westchester County, but it's near to it.
It's not in that. It's definitely in New York, and I can see like the Connecticut and Massachusetts line. It's clear to the west of that.
All right. Well, I'm on the Google Maps now.
Shores of the Hudson.
I'm on the Google Maps. Oh, no, that is totally in the red.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is totally in the red. Yep. Because the U.S. Military Academy is, they are kind of the same parallel as Danbury, Connecticut, and the same.
It's not even in the yellow.
All right, let me go back to my map now. Oops, where is this? Oh, this is the German story. Okay. Yeah, totally.
Oh yeah.
There is nothing. There is nothing in. There is no Connecticut. There is no Connecticut.
Infinity. There's no Connecticut. Danbury is. The only thing I have is New York City.
I don't know what to tell you. I am looking at it right now. There's nothing in Long Island.
Click that link I just posted.
Why am I going to click the link? I'm looking at the map.
Well, I'm looking at a better map.
No, that's not possible. All right. We'll argue about this in a moment. Anything else for the good of the cause, or can we wrap it up for this week?
Wrap it up.
That's a wrap.
Let's wrap it up for this week. News Talk Tonight. You can get us on iTunes. You can get us on Stitcher and maybe even Lisbon if I feel like paying the bill. Thanks so much for joining us. See you next week. Bye. News Talk Tonight is a production of the Hartford Online Radio Network, LLC. Copyright 2016. All rights reserved.